This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, starting out the week, we have some Nuggets news. Kind of met with a mixed reaction, I suppose, but we'll discuss. Spencer Jones isn't going anywhere. He'll stay with the Nuggets. We'll have Chris Dempsey, our Nuggets insider. Great friend of the show. He's going to join us at 11:35. Try to explain what this signing means, what could potentially happen with Peyton Watson. We'll discuss top stories of the day. A lot of spooky ones. Kind of scary, kind of depressing stories. Bronco stuff, we'll get into it. John A. Barron, what's the immediate future look like for him? Also, a clip of the day. Not a new one, but a reminder of where we could potentially see the Nuggets go in the future. All that coming up here, right on the whole show, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFGA. The whole show starts now. After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Of course, if you've been listening to the station this morning, good morning, NoCo, Coach Speak. I think all the hosts did a, you know, this is a tough story, but the situation, the wreck around Eaton with, a few dead people in this, and it is a sad situation, Michael, and I'm going to follow along with what Good Morning NoCo and Coach Speak did out of respect for the families. You know, not going to name the names right at this point. Going to kind of wait and see kind of how this goes. But Michael, these are so rough, man. I mean, Eaton's definitely got that small town feel, and not to say that tragedies in big cities, whatever, are any less sad and devastating. But in these small communities, I mean, I grew up in Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, Michael, and unfortunately when we would lose someone, especially young, it just rocked the entire community. And whether you knew the person well or not, it is scary. And so we're seeing the story. I saw it on KFKA as well, 1310KFKA.com. You think of the parents and you think of all of those affected, and you form family members with the teams you're on, and there's such a deep connection. It is these are just awful, just absolutely awful. So praying for the families and those involved and that small community. Man, I remember losing some good friends during, whether I was in high school or just growing up, and it never leaves you. You always think about that, and it stays with you for a very long time. So on this Monday, July 27th, hug your loved ones whenever these stories hit. Hold them close as you possibly can. 9 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, we've got some Nuggets news today. This kind of took place over the weekend. Spencer Jones, he was a two-way player, kind of climbing his way up through the ranks, and he was a big part to what the Nuggets did last year. Thought he was gone. The Oklahoma City Thunder offered Spencer Jones a two-year, $12 million offer sheet, but because he was a restricted free agent, the Nuggets could match that, and they did. The Nuggets matched it. Spencer Jones will remain a Nugget. However, the move officially puts the Denver Nuggets into the second apron. If you're confused as to what the second apron is still, even after these last couple of years, it's okay. I'm still confused. There was a time in my life where I wanted to learn it more, know it. I think even the people that do know it and the way they present it, it's still confusing. But what you should know, second apron, not good. Don't get in it, Mike.
If you're going to get in it, you better win it.
You better be in a championship window. You know, it's kind of like Sean McVay's blank them picks and all that stuff. If you believe that you're there, you can trade away picks and, you know, go all in on certain players. That's kind of what the second apron is all about. You can do it. You can go over that salary cap. There's a lot of penalties, including a projected tax penalty for the Nuggets that will increase by $32 million. So that's doubling the $36 million to now $68 million, and they will enter the second apron for the first time under the current collective bargaining agreement. Yes, Michael.
Will that tax go from the owners' pockets directly to the NBA, or does that affect the salary cap?
It'll go to the NBA. So, right, that's what the Kroenkes, one of the reasons they wanted to avoid this. They kind of have the reputation, fair or unfair, of being cheap.
Well, not now, the only Colorado ownership group.
Now they're paying $68 million just because. It's not going to a player. So $68 million will be in a tax penalty. The Nuggets now, according to Shams, are the only NBA team in the second apron. Good move or bad move? Now, I like Spencer Jones. Now the dust is settled and he will remain a Nugget. I like that he's on the roster. I just don't know that I like him for $6 million this upcoming year. And we're still awaiting the Peyton Watson news. I mean, at this point, Peyton Watson has been weighing playing on his $6.5 million qualifying offer next season to simply become an unrestricted free agent next summer. Now, why would he do that? If he does that and plays one more year, then next year he doesn't have to worry about Denver trying to match. There is some kind of peace of mind when you're an unrestricted free agent of saying, okay, no matter what, whoever I sign with, that's where I'm going. You don't have to wait around for the Nuggets to match that. I read this initially as Peyton doesn't want to be a long-term Nugget, so doesn't want to risk the Nuggets matching an offer. Because if they do, they get him. If someone offers him, gets a term sheet together for him, then Denver can match that. And then they can sign him for whatever that contract would be. So four-year deal, whatever. If Peyton's camp isn't crazy about committing to Denver long-term, to ensure that he's not there long-term, would be, I'll play one more year under the qualifying offer, which is just $6.5 million, or and have my options at the end of the year. Now, that's a gamble. The gamble is, what if he's not as good? Then he would obviously not get north of that $25 million. Denver's initial offer to Watson were believed to be 4 years, $70 million, which is well below what Watson is seeking. That would be 17 and a half a year. And Christian Brown is, you know, this upcoming season, he'll be due 21. His new contract starts this year. He's at 21. What we've read in the past is that Peyton Watson believes he's worth more than that, the 25 plus. So obviously 17 would be well below that number. I kind of thought that would be a reasonable number for a player like him at this stage in his career. But, I mean, he's the prototypical basketball player. You know, he's athletic, good defensive player. He can hit the 3-3 and D, long player, can get up. I mean, these are the guys you want. The problem with the Nuggets right now is they just have a lot of money tied up into players that really might not seem worth their contract at this stage, like a Christian Brown, obviously Zeke Nagy still. The legend of Zeke Nagy, that's going to go down as one of the worst contracts ever. It's $7.4 million, but to pay a guy $7.4 million to not play is very tough to do. So that contract continues to hinder the Nuggets. Apparently, they are receiving calls about Cam Johnson, and Cam is due $23 million this year. He'll be a free agent next year. This is much of the feel today, kind of like the day outside, Michael, gloomy, is the feeling around this Nuggets organization. They are running it back. In fact, it's worse than that. They're running it back, but not 100%. Tim Hardaway Jr. is not coming back. He's gone. Big Val's gone. Bruce Brown, I'm not sure what his situation is. He's not on the team right now. So you're running it back, but with a lesser bench, which is what the whole trade of Michael Porter Jr. was supposed to be about. That is all but gone now at this point.
Are they running it back, or are they just running backwards?
Or staying still, which, you know, that can kind of feel the same as running it backwards.
The only excuse I can have for them to keep roughly the same roster is they were injured last year, and before they were injured, they were playing really well.
They were.
So like, I think there were a lot of people are looking at it like that.
Well, that's the thing. That's why it was so tough when the Kroenke, when Josh was talking at the end of the season and saying things like, you know, we have to at least look at everything on the table here. On one end, if we're healthy, we think we can compete with the Thunder, the Spurs, and of course the team that knocked you out, the Timberwolves. But if not healthy, we are going to have a very difficult time getting out of the first round. And that's true with every team, but the Nuggets now have a player in Aaron Gordon where there's a good chance he's going to get hurt. He's going to deal with an injury at his age. And so much of what you want to do depends on his availability, his health. And going forward, that is a risky way to live. But it is what it is. You didn't have the luxury of a ton of money to spend and throw at free agents. You didn't necessarily know that you would get free agents. We talked about the Jaylen Brown trade, that maybe that could have happened, depending on which rumors you want to believe, if they would have been willing to move on from Jamal Murray. Now, is that the move? Because you still, let's just say you swap Jamal Murray with Jaylen Brown, you still have the same question. The same question as to whether or not Aaron Gordon's going to be healthy going forward, whether or not Christian Brown's going to live up to $21 million, whether or not Peyton Watson would even live up to 17 to 20, whatever it might be. Because right now we have about a month's worth of sample size of Peyton Watson playing at, for him, an elite level. And it was good. It was very good that 1 month. And he was a fine player before and after, and then he got hurt. But we've got a month that tells us, whoa, when everyone was hurt, they needed a guy to step up, and that was him. But it definitely has the feel of a tired Nuggets roster that didn't really do anything to improve. It's hard to say this team got better. If you're saying that, then I get it. I appreciate it. I think that's wishful thinking.
Optimism.
But you're still, like, guarantee me Aaron Gordon's healthy for the playoffs. I think the Nuggets could duke it out with the Thunder and the Spurs. The Thunder and the Spurs would be the favorites. But that's still, even a fully healthy roster, that's still a big question. Because look at your bench right now. So with the moves that have taken place, with Tim Hardaway Jr. gone, and Jonas gone. Okay, you got Marvin Bagley. Maybe that offsets that a little bit. But this is your lineup. Jamal Murray, Christian Brown, Cam Johnson, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic. If they do keep Peyton Watson, where does he fit? Now, if he plays for the qualify, if he decides to just stay with the Nuggets for another year and then become an unrestricted free agent, which means he can choose wherever the hell he wants to go. But if he comes back this season, is he coming off the bench? And if he does, I mean, you got Tyus Jones at backup point guard right now. Julian Strother, who I'm still waiting to see if he takes a leap. Peyton Watson. And then Spencer Jones. Both Spencer Jones and Marvin Bagley kind of in that power forward role. Jones can play small forward or power forward. Marvin Bagley would be a nice backup power forward slash center, not a true center. And, of course, you got rookies. You got Trevin Brazil, who I think had a pretty good summer league. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, a factor this year. But he could shock some people. People didn't think Christian Brown was going to be a factor his rookie year, and look what happened there.
Do summer league players tend to translate really well Or is it just kind of a hit and miss?
Nick Clifford, former Ram, had a pretty good summer league, and then he's becoming a last year he was really good.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that's a unique situation.
It's a crapshoot. I think, no, stop. It's a crapshoot. You can't really tell if, to me anyway, a guy could tear it up in summer league and not be anything for the rest of his career. Or he could be very quiet in the summer league, and then 2 years later, they're household names in the NBA. So
kind of like the guys in preseason who really, you know, shred defenses, and then where are they in the regular season?
Yeah.
They play real talent.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to have them in the summer league look good than not, but it still doesn't always indicate that they're going to be a stud. They got Alpha Diallo, who was the EuroLeague Defensive Player of the Year. The Nuggets did pick him up earlier. It seems like a project. He's getting up there in age, too. So I want a guy that's dedicated to defense, but he's 29 years old. He's a rookie. He's a 29-year-old rookie. I'm rooting for him, but I just don't know. I mean, you tell me, this lineup right now, is this a championship lineup? Last year felt like it was, because you added so many pieces to the bench with Tim Hardaway and Jonas Valanciunas, and even Bruce Brown. Felt like a masterclass of an offseason by trading Michael Porter Jr. Well, now all those assets you got for MPJ, all that room you got by trading MPJ, it's all gone. So I think you're warranted in your concern about what this Nuggets roster is going to do. Right now, the only move left is to hope that Peyton Watson signs for another year, but that might be it. That might very well be it. 22 minutes after the hour. Chris Dempsey is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I do want to talk more about the Thunder and their decision. You know, Sam Presti, the GM for the Thunder, and what went into that. Did they really want Spencer Jones, or were they just trying to drive up the price so that it would make Denver, it would force Denver, if they wanted him back, to step into the second apron, which obviously means their, you know, the immediate future, the foreseeable future, certainly in doubt for the Nuggets. 22 after the hour. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Renaissance Insurance Group, great sponsor here of the whole show. Formed by two UNC Bears alumni over 20 years ago, they've always had our backs. If you are looking for maybe a change or for insurance on farming operations, talk to Renaissance Insurance. They specialize in so many different areas, and that's a big one here in our community. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. 26 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, Chris Dempsey's going to join us. He's our Nuggets insider. He'll be joining us throughout the offseason and the regular season on a weekly basis, if not more so. So we always love catching up with Chris. I'm just going to ask for a quick refresher of the second apron, Michael. But this is an Adam Silver creation, so you can imagine it's confusing. The main thing, you just don't want to get in it. And are the Nuggets, like, is this the beginning of the end for Denver? I mean, it was just 3 years ago, Michael. This was a championship team, and Michael Malone's at the parade saying, dynasty, dynasty, dynasty. You lose KCP, and you lost Bruce Brown at that time. Obviously, MPJ's gone now. Michael Malone's gone. Calvin Booth's gone. The list grows of pieces to that run, and many people are making the comparison that this is very similar to the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, with Giannis Antetokounmpo and how that went down. They get their championship, and then They're not able to keep a lot of those pieces that helped Giannis get there. Is that the trajectory the Nuggets are heading in? That's how it feels right now. And it's hard to say anything otherwise. Because, I mean, you have so much riding on one guy's health. And again, I mean that with Aaron Gordon. That is such a dangerous way to live. But you guys tell me, like, how about the signing of Spencer Jones has suddenly sparked this negative conversation, which I like Spencer Jones as a player, but it also shows just how desperate Denver is by saying, hey, we're going to do what we can to keep this guy, who is still very much a project, and maybe overpay a little bit, but it's better than the alternative of just letting him walk, of letting him go to one of our rivals. And, you know, Sam Presti, the GM for the Thunder, was this his way of saying, hey, because everything I'm reading, this wasn't necessarily a sneaky ploy to force Denver's hand and put them into the second apron, but you know that came across. Hey, let's offer this guy. I like this guy a lot. Best case scenario, we get him for $6 million. We just traded away Lu Dort, so we have some money. Worst case scenario, Denver matches the offer and they're thrust into the second apron. I don't know that that was like the plan going forward. Let's just screw Denver over. But I think that that had to be a secondary discussion of, hey, this is a win-win situation for a guy we like. If we don't get him, great. He's still a project player, and you're going to force Denver's hand, and now they're in the second apron. That's going to impact their future. We'll talk to Chris Dempsey about that coming up next, Michael. But before we do, let's jump out quickly and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Talking some Denver Nuggets today. Who better to do that with than the one and only Chris? Don't call me Christopher Dempsey, our Nuggets insider here. Chris, glad to catch up with you again, man, and looking forward to doing it on a weekly basis and maybe even more with you, my man. Nobody better when it comes to all things Denver Nuggets.
Well, I appreciate it. It's great to be back, man. Yeah, and wow, there's a lot happening with this basketball team right now, but very happy to be back and definitely looking forward to doing this on a regular basis.
Yeah, man, of course. All right, so let's get into it. The Spencer Jones story. I thought he was gone, and then he wasn't. He will stick around. The Nuggets match that offer that OKC made. $6 million, 2 years, $12 million. Your thoughts on retaining Spencer Jones. How important is this for Denver?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty important. I got to say, I'm mildly surprised that they did match that offer because it put them in the second apron. But obviously, this is a player that they value, that played really well for them, especially defensively. And, you know, one of their, you know, charges for this season is to be a better defensive team than they were last year. So I think the best way, the pathway to doing that is with defensive players. And so they retain a really good one. In Spencer Jones, and now, you know, how that sets up the rest of their summer remains to be seen. But certainly getting him back, I know he was a fan favorite as well, so it'll be good to have him back in the fold. But given their financial situation, I was mildly surprised that they did it, but now we'll see where they go with what financial moves they make from here.
Yeah, that's where I was surprised. Now, if it was a luxury you could afford, hey, let's throw $6 million at kind of a project type of dude. I'm not trying to belittle him at all. I like Spencer Jones. I'm glad he's on this roster. But yes, like you said, given their situation, knowing that if they make that move, if they match it, bam, they're in the second apron. So that's where I was a little confused by it. On OKC's side of things, is this a situation where Sam Presti's like, hey, we like this guy a lot. Best case scenario, we get Spencer Jones on the roster. Worst case scenario, we force Denver's hand and now they're in the second apron.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly it. When you see a team, you don't see a ton of NBA teams even sign restricted free agents to offer sheets because it ties up their finances for 24 to 48 hours while the former team decides whether they're going to match it or not. And usually, teams want their financial flexibility at all times. But if you're going to put the other team in a financial predicament, sometimes you do it anyway. And I think there's probably a little bit of both here. Spencer Jones is a good player. The Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the best defensive teams in the league year over year. And to add a player like that to that equation would be huge for them. There's no doubt about that. But also, if he goes back to the Nuggets, now they're in the second apron, and now it complicates things in terms of trying to sign and trade. Peyton Watson, that whole situation is very, very interesting, but it gets a lot more complicated now because the Nuggets are in the second apron, which means you cannot take a player back in a trade, in a sign-in trade, which means the Nuggets need to get back under the second apron to be able to execute a sign-in trade if that is something that they want to do with Peyton Watson. So, there's a little bit of a weakening of an opponent, right, of a division rival there, making them make some decisions maybe they didn't want to necessarily make. So I think there was a little bit of both there for OKC.
Chris, before I ask you more details on the Peyton Watson thing and where you think Denver will go, where you think he wants to go, on this second apron, I've asked you a million times. Today it's popping up again because the Nuggets are in that second apron. Explain it to me like I'm six, Chris. What are the damages that come with being in the second apron for the Nuggets?
It's there to... create more parity in the league so that teams just don't care. It used to be, so if you go back to the Golden State Warriors when they were winning titles, their luxury tax bills were in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and they just didn't care because they would just pay them, get the whatever players they wanted on the roster, and win another title. The NBA didn't want that at all. And so what they finally did was devise a system of aprons. And, the first apron and the second apron so that you are very, very penalized for this stuff. So, for instance, you get no use of any mid-level exceptions. No exceptions. There's a lot of different kind of exceptions that you can use. Taxpayer mid-level exception, room mid-level exception. You are restricted to using no exceptions. The only thing you can do to sign a player is use the veteran's minimum. You can't aggregate salaries and trades, so which means you can't combine salaries, two or more players' salaries, to match the incoming player of the higher contract player. So obviously, that's important in terms of trying to get players in and trying to salary match, which you kind of have to do in the NBA to be able to complete these trades. Can't sign and trade a player. We just went through that. Can't buy out. You can't pay buyout free agents. So the buyout market at the trade deadline, you're not a part of that because you're in the second apron. You can't receive cash back in trades. So there's just a thousand things that restrict you from building your roster. And the NBA wants it that way. They want it to hurt. And they, if you go into the second apron, there was only one team in the second apron last season, and that was the Cleveland Cavaliers. And obviously that didn't work out for them in terms of losing in the playoffs. But, right now there, I believe, are four teams that are currently in the second apron. And this really only matters you have the entirety of the season to get yourself under the second apron, so you don't have to really pay for it, with your draft pick also in the future after the season is over. But as long as you're in that second apron during the season, you still can't make the trades you want to make and make the transactions that you want to make. So what the Nuggets are going to have to do here with Peyton Watson is, and I think this is a very, this is kind of a little bit of a game of chicken here, Brady, because right at the beginning of free agency, the Nuggets made it known that they would match any team up to like $30 million per year if somebody, if a team signed Peyton Watson to an offer sheet. Well, that basically effectively just ended that for, you know, for Peyton Watson, because no team was going to sign him to a an offer sheet just to get for that amount of money, have that money tied up just to have the team then just match that offer. So that really was damaging to Peyton Watson in terms of his ability to have other teams really just buy for him in a way that they would just sign him to an offer sheet. So now you have reporting that Peyton Watson might sign a qualifying offer. Well, if he does that, the Nuggets definitely don't want that. So he would sign a qualifying offer, which is about $6.7 million for him. He would play this season for the Nuggets, and then he would be an unrestricted free agent next season. The reason why that matters for the Nuggets is if he signs the qualifying offer, there is no way they get great value for him in any kind of trade if they were trying to do that during the regular season, because he's on an expiring contract and he can leave that team, the team that he was traded to, immediately after next season. So it would really, really, really damage his value in terms of trade. So the Nuggets are in a space here where one of two things have to happen. One, they have to come to some sort of agreement that both sides like, and they can sign him to a contract here in Denver, or they have to dump salary and then get into sign and trade. And there are teams that are very interested in Peyton Watson. So this has been just a very, very fascinating situation. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but that's why the Spencer Jones thing was so interesting, because it puts you in a situation now where you have to, is it Zeke Nagy or is it Daron Holmes, or, you know, like you have to get yourself back under the apron to be able to have the full breadth of options in terms of how you deal with Peyton Watson.
Now, Chris, how deep into the second apron are they now? I know this deal was $12 million for 2 years, so $6 million. Is that what are they, a couple million in to the second apron? Is that how deep it is at this point?
Yeah, it's just under $2 million in.
Okay.
So it's not super deep into the second apron, which is why you see a lot of reports about Zeke Nagy, in terms of trading him or getting off of his salary a little bit, or Daron Holmes, can he get off of his salary? Either one of those two players would do the trick for you. Very difficult to trade them, right? You know, those are players that didn't play a ton of minutes last season. Would you have to attach draft picks with that, second round draft picks with that, to be able to sweeten the pot for another team to take those players off your hands? Or if you're the Nuggets and you say the Atlanta Hawks want to sign and trade for Peyton Watson, then you have the Hawks help you find trades for Zeke Nagy or somebody else, right? So they can do that, and then they have to have a package for you as well. So, you know, we might be a little while from a resolution here, with Peyton Watson. I think in, you know, the order this has to go in, if the Nuggets need to get off some salary in order to execute anything else they want to do with PY.
Chris Dempsey joining us. And, you outlined what the Nuggets did by basically declaring, hey, we would match up to that $30 million, which kind of scared teams away. And you can look at it and say, smart business decision by the Nuggets. But also, did they do Peyton Watson dirty here? And how does Watson view the Nuggets going forward? I look at that initial report of him, you know, playing on the $6.5 million or whatever the qualifying offer is, more of a, hey, fine, I'll get through one more season, but then it's done. I'm unrestricted. I can go wherever the hell I want. I don't have to play any of these games anymore. Like you said, it's not a good look, and it probably even means that more or less tells you that Watson has not a lot of interest if he does pick this up in being a Nugget long term.
Yeah, well, you know, there would be some, you know, mending of fences that would have to happen, right? I mean, these negotiations have clearly been tough. You know, you have a player that I think, at the very least, wanted, just above whatever Christian Brown got, $25 million per year, right? And it doesn't feel like that the Nuggets are there with that number. And because of that, you know, he would like to go elsewhere to get, you know, to get that number. It feels like maybe there's some teams out there that might give him that number. I think he knows that, but the Nuggets, have made these overtures that they're going to match. And so these negotiations are tough, and sometimes you can get some frayed feelings. So, the risk for Peyton Watson is if you sign your qualifying offer and you don't play as well as you did last year, then it doesn't matter. Your unrestricted free agency is damaged as well, because you're just not going to get the same type of dollars that you figured you were going to get this year. But also, if you're P. Watt and you play great, and, you know, then it's going to be on the Nuggets to either find the money or you can just say, hey, thanks, but no thanks, and I'll go somewhere else. So, yeah, I mean, these are, you know, you get to these situations. I mean, we saw this a lot with Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, kind of this cat and mouse, you know, do you want to be here? Do you not want to be here? Do we want to extend the contract to you or do we not? And, I just think that there's some similarities here with Peyton Watson, and, we'll see how it all plays out.
Chris, last prediction game for you. First off, do you see Peyton Watson on the Nuggets roster this upcoming season?
Ooh, that's a good question. I am leaning toward probably not.
Mm.
This is just my gut feeling about this. I think that the Nuggets will try to get under the second apron, and then they'll try to sign and trade him. I think that if the two sides were coming together on a contract that was acceptable to both sides, they would have done so by now, and they haven't. So I would expect that we'll start seeing some reports of other moves to be made, and then, you know, a sign and trade to get assets back and players and a player or players, back in return for him. Because, you know, if you're the Nuggets, you know, you need, you know, I'm not super sure what Peyton Watson's ultimate value is, but if you can get a young player and maybe some sort of a lottery protected first round pick back for him, that would be something that, it wouldn't be a bad idea for the Nuggets. I mean, they don't have control of any first-round picks until 2031, I believe it is. And, certainly not any that they can trade right now until at least next offseason, when the pick that they owe to OKC conveys to OKC and thereby releases their 2028 first-round obligation to OKC. So can you get draft assets? Can you get a young player? And if you can get both of those things, you still have Cam Johnson, you still have guys that play his position that are obviously really good players as well. You can have a little bit of the best of both worlds.
Chris, who would have thought that, you know, 2 years ago even, that Peyton Watson would be such a source of fork in the road for the Nuggets, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was all right. You wonder what kind of player he's going to be, and now suddenly it's the decision to keep him, to retain him, or move on. However, could really impact the immediate and the foreseeable future for the Nuggets. It's crazy.
I agree, and, you know, it's, you know, the Nuggets, you know, the thing that's too bad about this situation is Peyton Watson is exactly the kind of player they need on this roster. You know, he is a long and rangy defender. Obviously, the shot blocking, whether it was his own man or weak side help defense, is there. He's one of the best shot blocking forwards, period, in the NBA. He helps raise your defensive profile. And then the offense that he showed was stuff that they need. He showed that he could be a three-level scorer, hit the three, get to the rim, shoot a mid-range as well. But also just this ability to be able to break down your man one-on-one in an ISO situation when the shot clock is running down. That is something that the Nuggets just didn't have a ton of on their roster. And I still don't think they have a ton of that on their roster right now. And what that just means is that when teams kind of get into you, especially in the playoffs, you see a lot of empty possessions or a lot of very tough shots taken in these possessions. So you need guys who can kind of just go and get their own so they can keep their offense on schedule. They don't have a ton of that on their roster right now. And Peyton Watson would have been that player, or still could be that player. I don't want to write him off here, but still good. He's that type of player that they need. Also reduces their overall age of their basketball team, which is the Nuggets are now one of the older teams in the NBA. And you have to start trying to filter in some younger players to get some youth, some injected energy and youth onto your basketball team. So, you know, this is, you know, when you're a team like the Nuggets and you sign contracts early to other players, that's good business for the team because you're paying at a rate that you wouldn't have to pay if that player plays another season really well and now the price goes up. But it also can hurt you on the backside of this if you now have so much of your finances already tied up that you can't retain really good players like Peyton Watson.
It's going to be interesting to see how this one unfolds. Chris, fascinating stuff by you as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon, my friend.
All right, my guy. We'll talk to you.
All right, sounds good. Chris Dempsey, let's unpack that conversation coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Soon enough, the boys of fall will be back, and the coach will be here to preview the upcoming season. Coach Speak, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Coming up next, we got some bizarre stories for the top stories of the day, and then I want to unpack the conversation we just had with Chris Dempsey. Very fascinating to see which route the Nuggets will ultimately take, which route Peyton Watson will take, because he has a little bit of control here. He could pick up that player option, which on the surface seems good, but it's actually pretty bad for the Nuggets long term. So we'll get into that. Second hour of The Whole Show coming up next. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.